good to see each of you this evening. We'll be using our one-on-one books, so I hope you'll have one handy there. We'll sing number 14 to start with. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please. Number 14 in the 101 book. Assembly here. Now we're going to ask one of them, Brother Glenn, to lead in prayer tonight.
Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. God, that we can leave our burdens at your feet, Lord. You'll even feed the sparrows, and how much more you take care of us and how you bless us, Father God. Thank you, dear Lord, for our salvation. That, Lord God, that we're just citizens. We're not citizens here. We're just passing through, and our citizenship is in heaven with you. And Lord, I just pray, Father God, as your appearing nears, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us, Father God, to draw closer to you and to live for you and to lead others to Christ. Now, Father, I pray you'd be with those who couldn't be with us here this evening. And Lord, because of difficulty or different problems or maladies, Father, just pray that you lift them up. I pray you encourage them. Pray, Father God, you wrap your loving arms around them. And I ask you, dear Father God, now to bless this service. Thank you for our pastor and what he means to me and this congregation. Pray, Father God, for your unction on him. I pray that you keep your hand upon him and lead him and give him the words, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would speak through him this evening, and that you touch our hearts, and that, Father God, that we would take what we hear this evening and apply it again then to our lives. So, Lord, we're going to give you praise. We're going to thank you for all that you do, all that you continue to do. We will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Let's turn now to number 16. to the rock that is higher than I.
Yes.
Years that were unable to be with us last Sunday for the induction service. So Brother Strawn, Brother Reno, and Brother Cliff Zimmerman, if you would like to write a little note saying thank you for all that they did to help us, please do so, and we will be mailing those cards out, and Pastor will be putting an appropriate gift with that, those cards to send to those men for all the time and effort that they placed in helping us here at our church while we were searching for him. All right. Also, we've got this week covered, but if you would like to sign up for future weeks to mow the lawn here at the church and take care of weed whacking and blowing, whatever else might be involved, the sign-up sheet is here on the organ. That would be a great way to be a blessing to the church family here. And on that same note, I want to say thank you to the ladies who make the effort to clean the church.
Yes.
That's a real blessing as well. So we're thankful for that ministry that the ladies do. And then the lawn is usually taken care of by the men. So good balance there, I would say. All right. And then last but not least, starting next Sunday, our evening service will be at 5:30 p.m. That was the consensus. The highest number of votes came for that. And so starting next Sunday, our evening service will be at 5:30 p.m. Hope you'll come and be with us on those services. Pastor, you have anything else? One other thing. new bookmark. They were supposed to be here in time for our induction service last week, but they came late. Please pick them up. They're on the offering table there in the back. It says, has the picture of a church with a steeple and with a cross on it. And it says, Ray Street Baptist Church, welcome Pastor Chris Welton, Ray Street Baptist Church, induction ceremony, April 18, 2021, Jeremiah 3, verse 15. So please take some. It'll be a good commemoration of what God has done for our church. Okay, and then the other thing is, of course, let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we will be doing all the verses now in the passage that we wanted to cover. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And on that note, when we are finished with this study, Pastor is going to start us on that other study from the little pink, beige book, red, whatever it might be. It's very light red. Anyway, whatever color you want to call it, maybe I'm getting colorblind. Who knows? But anyway, I think there are still a few of those left on the table back there if you did not get one. All right, Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. Let's say them together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. All right. Let's stay right where we were, and we'll sing song number 17.
Fire and the heavens, my theme shall He skipped over 19. I asked him if he was going to sing it. He said no. You know where we'll never grow old? Let's sing this together. You guys stand up there so you can.
Okay.
Let's get a surround sound right here.
All right. Well,
they're going to come up here.
Come on up and join us. All right.
The third verse we'll sing with no piano. I'll join you with the chronicles. Acapulco.
All right.
Impromptu here.
Try to crowd in so we can all use the mic here. sorrows will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before.
Amen. Amen. That was a blessing. Amen. Amen. Never grow old. Won't that be wonderful? Someday to be in heaven and never grow old. Have to worry about age. Have to worry about getting out of the bed. Yeah. I know some people have a lot more difficult than I do to get out of bed. Never grow old. For eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in a perfect redeemed body. Don't have to worry about sickness. Don't have to worry about pain. Don't have to worry about disease. Wonderful. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening. And we're going to look back here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 2. Well, verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word this evening, please stand as we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Paul says here to those in Thessalonica, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much a contention, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetous, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, yet nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be in church this evening. I thank you, Lord, for these precious brethren. Lord, it's just wonderful to be in church, dear God, to sing out to you, Lord, never to grow old someday, Father. Help us to live in the light of that, dear God. Help us to, even though we grow old in these bodies, Lord, to realize that someday we'll have a new body and that we'll be spend eternity with you in heaven. Help us to live in the light of it. Help us to walk closer to you. Lord, help us now as we look at your word. Pray just lead, guide, and direct and give us what we need, Lord, that would help us to love you more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, last week we kind of looked at a little bit of verse number 1 where it says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain." Paul's telling them is that when we came and we preached the gospel to you, that it wasn't in vain. It wasn't empty. It wasn't worthless. It had some substance to it. There was some value to it because we saw what the word of God did for you and how it changed your life. And he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain." And he goes on to say in verse number 2, "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi." And last week we kind of went over there in the book of Acts and look at what they had to deal with there in Philippi before they came to those in Thessalonica. And he says the next part there, he says, "And we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." He says here to them there at Thessalonica, he says, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel." We had boldness, and we were bold in that, even though there was much contention. Contention means this. It means strife. It means a struggle, a violent effort to obtain something or to resist a person, claim, or injury. It means controversy. Paul says here, we were bold in our God to speak with you unto you the gospel of God with much contention. As they preached there in Thessalonica, and to those in Thessalonica, there was much contention about what they were preaching. Take your Bible and look again back over at Acts chapter number 17. It wasn't a smooth road for them as the Apostle Paul went around with Timothy and Titus. It wasn't a smooth road for them as they preached the gospel in different areas there in Macedonia. And in Acts chapter 17, he said here in verse number 1, or the Bible says here in verse number 1, Acts chapter 17, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And the Bible says here in verse 2, and Paul, as he ministered, and as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So as Paul is preaching there in Thessalonica in the Sabbath day, during the Sabbath days, those three Sabbath days, he reasoned unto them out of the Scriptures, and he was reading with them about who Christ would be. Well, as he's preaching, as he's teaching over that 3-week period, they run into some trouble here. The Jews, which believed not, were moved with envy. They didn't like what was being preached. They didn't like what was being taught. And the word envy means this, to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. Those Jews didn't like what was happening to their crowd there, to their church, to their membership. And a lot of people, look, when you get saved, they're not going to like it. Some people aren't going to like what happened to you, even though it's a good thing. They're not going to take pleasure in that you now feel easy. You feel peace. You feel contentment because of what Christ has done for you. And they're going to be moved with envy. And the Bible says here that the Jews, which believe not, move with envy, and they stirred up lewd fellows of a baser sort, and they caused the whole city to get in an uproar. Now remember what Paul said there in Thessalonians. He says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That whole city was turned upside down to where they make a statement. They says, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They had a reputation when they came into Thessalonica as this gospel went forth of turning the world upside down because of the power that it exhibited, because of the boldness they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. In their eyes, there, those Jews in Thessalonica, they're like, these individuals will turn this whole city upside down. They've already turned the world upside down. Brethren, we have the power, as we look in on Wednesday night there in 2 Peter, we can have the power of God in our lives to turn our community upside down. And it doesn't take a huge army to do so. I don't believe so. I don't believe it takes a multitude. I mean, I believe God works in small numbers. And I believe that's a principle through the whole canon of Scripture, is God takes pleasure to work in small numbers. And I believe in my heart that this community can be turned upside down by just the membership in this church. I don't think you need 500 people to go into a town to turn it upside down. Here you got Paul, you got Silas, you got Timothy, and they're going in there preach, and what they preach, they got the power of God in there, so much so that they turn that whole community upside down to where it's an uproar. And the Bible says in verse number 7, Acts chapter 17, whom Jason hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. And look what it says in verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So it was so bad there in Thessalonica that Paul, he had, and they had to get out of there. Because they were seeking to take their life. So they had to get out of there and go to Berea. So Paul, when he writes the letter to them, let me go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When he writes this letter unto them, he reminds them and he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We can have a boldness in our life to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what I mean by that. Don't let the enemy mess with your mind and say to you that you're not doing enough for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord's telling you that, that's one thing. But don't let the enemy mess with your mind and provoke you to do something that God's not in. Okay? And that's where you need discernment. All right, is the Lord impressing me to do something here? Or am I just trying to prove myself in a situation? Or am I following the provoke of the enemy to do something that God's not in because I don't want to seem like I'm not being spiritual? And I've seen men, some men believe you should get every individual you see. And I've been with men who believe every individual you see, you come in contact with, you give them a track and tell them the gospel. I don't believe that way. I don't believe you'll find that in scripture. I don't think you'll find that with the way the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life. He didn't go everywhere. He was the Son of God. He didn't go to every town preaching everywhere. No, he did what the Father wanted him to do. And that's what we need to do. We need to be about our Father's business, and we need to pray every morning or whenever we get ready to start our day, Lord, lead and direct me to those that you would have me to talk to and provide open doors. And then as the Father provides those open doors, Lord, I pray to God that you'll give me boldness to go through that door when you do give it to me. See, some just say, well, I'm not, they'll just get to where you don't have to walk with God that way. You're safe. Well, I'm just going to cover all avenues. No, God wants you to walk with him. Because there's a time the Lord may want you to just be quiet. And then there's a time the Lord may want you to speak. And if the devil can mess that up and get you to talk when you're supposed to be quiet and be quiet when you're supposed to talk, he's got control. So that's where it takes discernment and a walk with the Lord to know when and the times that he would have you to do something for him. Now, we need to have boldness. You know, something the Lord had to work in my life is to have a boldness to where I knew that there was times the Lord was saying, I want you to give somebody a track. Or there's a time where I want you to talk to this person about the Lord. Like, there's an open door here. I want you to talk about Jesus Christ at this time. I want you to talk about what the Lord has done in your life. And oftentimes when I know the Lord's behind it is when I want to keep my mouth shut. That's usually when I know God's in it because I don't want to do it. I was like, no, I don't want to do this right now. And you start getting all red. You start getting all embarrassed. You start sweating. You start shaking a little bit maybe. Well, that's what God worked. That's the power of God right there if you let God work in that. Because it's not you. It's him working through you. There are those times where you feel like you can't do it. So Paul tells him here, in those in Thessalonica, he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Bold means this: daring, brave, courageous, confident. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. This is what we need in our life in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And this is what the world needs to see. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Now look at this. Look at this verse here. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Look what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the... Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Look what the people see. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were just a bunch of fishermen. They don't know nothing. How are they going to come in here and tell us about God and about the scriptures and about how we need to do and walk with God? He says, when they saw the boldness and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And look what it says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do you see that? Do you see what that says? They looked at Peter and John. They looked at them and said, it says there, they saw their boldness and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. These men don't know nothing. They're ignorant. They're unlearned. But the one thing they did notice is that they had been with Jesus. And that's what the world needs to see. The world doesn't need our intellect. The world doesn't need our reasoning. The world needs to see that we spent time with Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus in our life. And that will turn the world upside down. When they've seen you've been with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with you. You say, preacher, how do I spend time with Jesus? Get into the Gospels. Read about Jesus Christ. Read about how he lived his life. Read about how he conducted himself. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Lord. And people are going to take notice that you spent time with Jesus. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. You do so, you'll have boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You spend time with him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. Look what Paul says here. Paul asked for prayer. He says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul even asked them, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit and watching the church with all perseverance and supplication of saints in verse 18. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul asked them to pray for him, that utterance may be given unto him, that when time came to speak the mysteries of the gospel, that he would have boldness to do so. And we can pray the same thing to Jesus, to ask him to give us boldness to speak when we need to speak. So back over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 3, Paul wants them to realize something while he's writing this letter to them. And he says to them, and I read this evening from verses 3 to 6, but he says to them, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Those are good things to look for those that preach the gospel. Paul tells them, he says, listen, we didn't come into you with uncleanness. We didn't come into you with guile. We didn't come into you with deceit. He says, we didn't come into you as trying to please men, but we came into you trying to please God. The Bible, or the definition of exhortation, means a form of words intended to incite and encourage. It also means advice, counsel. Paul tells them, he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, which means an attempt to deceive or lead one into error, a false representation or an underhanded practice used to defraud another. And I'm afraid there's many preachers today that in churches, I'm not talking about Baptists, I'm talking about churches as a whole, who are deceitful, who use the people and they flatter them with words, but it's under a cloak of covetousness. They use the gospel to make gain for themselves, and it's a hindrance to the flock. Basically, they abuse and they take advantage of those that are in their congregation. And Paul's telling them there in Thessalonica, listen, I didn't come into you, I didn't preach the gospel unto you with any ulterior motive. He says, I didn't come into you being deceitful, I didn't come to you in a spirit of guile, I didn't come to you trying to please men so that I get in with you all to get what I need from you. He says, I came to you at no time with flattering words, nor with a cloak of covetousness. Paul's basically laying out saying, I came to you to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ and that only. And I didn't want to be burdensome to you to where you thought that I was using you only for your money. And that's the way a preacher ought to be. A preacher ought not to use the congregation to just get the money from them to fill his own pocket. and to live how he wants to live and live off the sheep, that's not right. And I think that's what Paul's getting across to them there. He says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men. I'm not up here, anytime men in here, if you have an opportunity to preach or teach the word of God, don't ever do it to where you're trying to please other men. Don't ever do it. Don't ever feel intimidated. And I've been in plenty of situations before to where there have been other preachers in the crowd, and I ask God, help me, Lord, not to be intimidated so that I look good in front of my other brothers in Christ. So that I might be able to be in with a certain crowd or in a certain clique to where you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. Absolutely not. I was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not trying to please men. And not try to make enemies either, no. But if I get up here and I'm only preaching certain things because I want to look good in front of certain people, that's wrong of me. That ain't right. That's not right at all, because Paul says here, not as pleasing men. So if anybody ever has an opportunity as a man to preach or teach the gospel, preach it because you're trying to please God. And you're trying to do the Father's will. Because you can be intimidated. God forbid I don't preach something because somebody gives some money to the church. God forbid I hold back what God lays in my heart, what needs to be preached, because somebody might get offended and leave the church and they're a good tither. God forbid. God forbid. And I've heard preachers say that before. Well, they're a good tither. Well, who am I looking? Am I looking to them for their money, or am I looking to God to supply my needs? Preach the word. Preach the word. And Paul says here, not as pleasing men, but God. Which, why? Because God tries the hearts. You see, we're not getting away with anything. We're not getting away with anything with God. Paul says here, not pleasing men, but pleasing God. Why am I trying to please God? Because he tries our hearts. The Lord knows what's going on in the heart. See, we may be able to get over on men. We may be able to fool men, but we're never going to fool God. Do you understand this, Ethan? We can fool other individuals. We can put on a good Christian show. But we're not fooling God. And that's what Paul's telling them there. He's saying, listen, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust, we were put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Why do we speak this way? Not as pleasing men, but God. Why? Which trieth our hearts. Take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. Not pleasing men, but God. Why? Because he tries our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse number 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Well, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look what Paul says. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you understand? That is what God is looking for. He's looking for you to stand in the power that he offers rather than the wisdom that men may give you. I'm not up here. I'm not here to be a pastor to please other men. I'm here to please my Savior and God Almighty. And that is where the power comes in, because I'm afraid today that many place their faith in the wisdom of men rather than the power of God. Well, this preacher said this, and that pastor said this, and they said this. Well, yeah, but what does God say? What does God say? Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul had power with God, because the only thing he was concerned about was in verse number 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't trust men because he says, I know what's in the heart of men. Don't try to please men, please God. Don't worry about what others think of you. Listen to me. Don't worry about what others think of you. You walk with God. You be concerned about what does God think about what's going on in your life and not so much what brother or sister so-and-so thinks about what's going on in your life. If you're clear before God, go with God. Do you understand? As long as it's scripture and it's not sin, go with God. Okay? So he says here, that faith should stand and not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Remember what Paul said to those in Thessalonica? He says, for our exhortation was not in deceit, nor in cleanness, nor in guile. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Well, verse number 1 again. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Not handling the word of God deceitfully or dishonestly. And there's many out there today that are using the Bible deceitfully and dishonestly and are causing problems. The full counsel of God, being open and honest. That's one thing I appreciate about this church. When I first come up in here, I remember the first time I preached, and you know, you preach in different churches and you go around different places, and sometimes when you preach, some of you men in here have preached before. There's, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've gone to preach someplace and you can immediately say, you get up behind her and you're like, there is no liberty at all. It's like everything you're saying is hitting a brick wall and you can just feel the tension among the brethren. And I never had that here and I appreciate that. And another thing I appreciate is you allowing me to be who I am. You just allow me to be who I am. And that's what God desires for all of us. God desires for us just to be who we are. Not to compare ourselves among ourselves and thus deceiving ourselves, but being who we are, God can get in that. Paul was who he was, and he said he renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Paul wasn't crafty. Paul wasn't dishonest. Paul was open with who he was. And God used that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at that real quick. I'm almost done this evening. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 6. We're talking about this mindset of those that use deceit, that they use uncleanness and guile and flattery to get what they want when it comes to the ministry. But Paul says here to those in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 6, what he says here, he says, not with eye service, when he's talking about servants, not with eye servants as men pleasers. You know individuals like that. You've seen them at the workplace before. They're just all up with the boss. They're all up with those in authority, not because they care anything about those in authority, but they're trying to use that for their own gain. Like, I'm going to butter up to you. I'm going to get close to you, not because I really care about you or I really want to be your friend. No, I'm hoping because I'm next to you, maybe a little bit of you will rub off on me and I'll get your position someday or even higher and I'll use you for my advantage. Paul says here to those in Ephesus, he says, not with eye service. I'm not here just to give you eye service as just men pleasers. He says, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God wants the heart. God doesn't want eye service. God just doesn't want you just to punch your ticket. God wants you to do these things from the heart, not because you're trying to please man. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that so I can please the preacher and maybe I can get in on his good side because, no, you should be doing things because you're trying to please God, and because you're doing it from the heart, because you want to bring honor and glory to Lord Jesus Christ, not because you're trying to get a position or accolades or some kind of a notoriety because of what you've done. No, all glory to Jesus Christ, not as men pleasers, not with eye service, but doing it from the heart, the will of God. Lastly, the last part of verse says, which trieth our hearts. Look back over real quick, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Paul says there to those in Thessalonica, he says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. We're not here to try to please men. We're here to try to please God. And this church never needs to compromise so that we please men or we have a big crowd. God forbid this church ever compromises. I'm thankful for the brethren that were here for those 3.5, 4 years that you didn't compromise. That you didn't give in to what you believed and what you stood upon just so you could get a pastor. You didn't compromise. Too many churches are compromising when it comes to the Christian contemporary music, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the things that we're supposed to stand upon. They compromise in order to keep the people. The Lord Jesus Christ never compromised to keep the crowd. He was so much willing so to even look at his own disciples and say, will you go away also? The Lord was not concerned with the crowd and having a big multitude follow him. He wasn't concerned with that. He was concerned with doing the Father's will. And if you followed him in the Father's will, then on we go. I have this written in front of my Bible, and it's one of my favorite verses, and it's in Luke 12:32. It says, fear not, little flock. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Not big flock, not huge flock. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The little flock. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Last few verses we'll look at and we'll pray. Look at Psalm chapter number 7, verse number 9. We'll close with these verses. God, which trieth the hearts. I'm not here to try your heart. You understand? As a preacher and as a pastor, listen, I'm responsible for the church. I'm responsible for the congregation and this church spiritually. But I'm not going to come in your homes and tell you what you should and shouldn't do. That's your responsibility. Especially for men that have wives and have a family, that's your realm. And ain't no preacher ever ought to come in your house and say, you shouldn't have that, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. No, sir, that's your grounds. Do you understand me? Don't ever let no preacher come in your house and if you're a father and you're a husband and say, well, your wife should be doing this. Absolutely not. He has no grounds to do so. And you say, preacher, why? Because I've seen pastors do that. Your wife should be, what? You're not going to come in my house and tell my wife what to do. I'll kick you out of this real quick. This is my house. And so as a husband, that's your responsibility. That's your home. That's your family. That's your wife. And you're responsible for that because you're the head of the home, not the pastor. But when it comes to the church, the pastor is responsibility and will give an account someday for the church that he's over. How many shepherds are there that watch a flock? One. There's one shepherd. You don't have five shepherds and a flock of sheep. You have one shepherd. And he has to give an account for those sheep. And thus it's set up in the church. A pastor's got to give an account for the sheep. But when it comes to your home, that's your home. You give an account there. Now, if you ask my opinion on something, you ask some counsel on something, yes. But that's your home because you're the head of the home. And you're responsible for that home. God tries the hearts. A pastor is not to rule and reign over your life. But some people desire that. There's some that desire to come into bondage under a preacher because then that means they don't have to make the decisions in their life. They're having a preacher do it for them. And thus, they don't have to walk with God. As long as I'm doing what the preacher says and I'm checking off the checkbox that he thinks I should be checking off, I'm good to go. Absolutely not. You walk with God. And I'm not going to force myself to anybody in this church. I'm not going to give an opinion if you ask me sometime unless you ask me. I'm not going to voice my opinion unless it's sin. Now, a good question came up when it comes to something concerning the covenant. And I'm going to go over it again there, but I'll just bring it up now. When it concerns the covenant, that in the bylaws, it has a covenant that you say kind of like a vows, like between a husband and wife. It's like a covenant. It's got some words in there. But believe that that covenant is between you and God. That is not, I'm not, look, I pray to God, if I ever do, you smack me upside the head because I've lost my mind. I'm never going to come to you and ask you how much money you're given. I don't want to know how much money you're given. I don't ever want to know how much money you're given. Why? Because that would mess me up. I've done missions before and I've run a general church fund. I've been a treasurer before. And it's very dangerous. You need to pray for Brother Jim because sometimes the enemy can put stuff in your mind. Well, why don't these people give? Because you see it. And that's knowledge. And you have that knowledge. I don't want to know how much you give. And if you don't ever give, that's between you and God. I'm not going to come in and say, why aren't you giving money? Absolutely not. That's between you and the Lord. And you may say, well, in the covenant, it says that you should witness. That you should tell others about Jesus Christ. Absolutely. If you're a Christian, you should. But I'm never going to lord myself over and say, well, how many tracts you hand out this week, Sister Barb? Oh, you only handed out two? Well, you're behind. You need to get back up to 10. Absolutely not. That's between her and God. And I'm not, but that's none of my business. You walk with God. As a pastor, this is my desire for this flock, that you grow in your walk with God. You grow with your walk with God. And if I can be a help and assist at any time, I'll be right there for you. But I need you to grow and walk with God. To be able to stand on your own 2 feet, because I can't always be with you. Right? And so the Lord, you can't always be with your children. So you want them to grow to where they can stand on their own. And of course, if they have questions, they can call dad or mom. And the same thing here. If you have questions, you call the pastor. But a lot of times you're going to be by yourself and you're going to have your own walk with God. And you're going to have to know the scriptures. And you're going to have to know what you believe. You can't go out here and say, well, my pastor believes this. No, that's not good enough. You need to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. And you can stand upon that. And you can walk upon your own 2 feet. I desire for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, lastly, I'm sorry. Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 9. God which trieth the hearts. And look what it says here in Psalm chapter 7. David writing, he says here, the Lord using David, he says in verse number 9, chapter 7. He says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. But look what he says. But establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reigns. Flip over to chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17. Again, David speaking in verse number 3 says, though thou hast proved mine heart, verse number 3, chapter 17. He says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Again, flip over to chapter 44. All through the book of Psalms, you see this principle and this statement that God tries the hearts and the reins. Psalm chapter 44 and verse number 21. Shall not God search this out? Shall not God search this out? Why? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Brethren, just always be open and honest. Always just be open. Don't try to cover stuff up. It never works to cover anything up because eventually it's going to come to the light. People are going to know. People are going to see. You're not going to fool nobody, and you're especially not going to fool God. The psalmist says here, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Proverbs 28:26. I'm almost done. Two more verses. Proverbs 28:26, and we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Proverbs 28, and look at verse 26. I always, my ears go up a little bit when I hear people say, well, I trust my heart. Proverbs 28:26 says this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, I know what's in my heart. I know what's in my heart. I just trust my heart. I walk with my heart. The Bible says you're a fool. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, I know what's in my heart. Well, what's in your heart is wickedness. Because look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 verses 9 and 10. I'm not going to trust my heart because my heart can deceive me. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitfully, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But look at verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Do some people out there have a good heart? Absolutely. But you take a lot of Catholics that have a good heart, and it's deceiving them. There's a lot of good Catholics out there. There's a lot of good Catholics out there that have a good heart, but it's not a heart according to the Word of God. And their good heart is not going to merit them heaven. Their good deeds, though their good deeds, aren't going to merit them heaven. All the work that Teresa did over there in Calcutta could not merit her heaven. Was she a nice woman? Yes, she was probably a very sweet, nice woman. But that doesn't merit you heaven. Well, I trust my heart, and my heart says, this is how you balance it out. Does what your heart tell you line up with Scripture? Then you're okay. But you better make sure that when you say it's my heart, that it's lined up with what the Bible says. And not just what you think is good and right. Because your heart can deceive you. Your heart can trick you. And the Bible says in Proverbs and here in Jeremiah chapter 17 that there's deceitfulness in the heart and there's wickedness in the heart. And a heart can fool you. A heart can trick you. We need to stand on what does the Bible say and walk in that, because God tries our heart. Our prayer daily should be, Lord, try my heart. Know what's in me, dear God. If there be any wicked way in me, Lord, if there be anything, and if there be any wickedness or ulterior motives, God, check me, Lord. Help me to make sure that I'm doing exactly how you would have me to do it, and that my heart is pure before you and my motives are pure before you as I walk and try to live in the light of your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. I thank you for these brethren. I thank you for your word. Lord, help us, dear God, to make sure that our hearts and our mind are always clear before you. Dear Lord, may our prayer be as David prayed, Lord, know my heart, try me, search me, know my reins, dear God. Know what's going on in my mind and my heart, dear God. Lord, that if there's any wickedness there, Lord, if there's any iniquity, if there's any selfishness, dear God, Help me, Lord, to get that out of my life, Lord, that you would purge it out, dear God, and that I have a clean heart to walk with you, dear God. Lord, know my heart, know my reins, dear God. And Lord, help me to walk with you in a perfect and in a right way. Lord, that it may be pleasing to you, Lord. And Lord, in that walk with you, dear God, that others would see a difference. Lord, that I would do your will, that I'd be faithful, and that I'd be pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light of that. Help us to be obedient. Help us just not to go through the motions or try to just please men to get in on our good side. But Lord, help us to have a desire to please you first and foremost. And Lord, we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Dismissed. I hope you all have a good week. Be praying for you. If you need anything, please let me know. I love you. Amen.